If you would find that place, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me say a word while you find your place in the Bible. The Spanish folks will be having their services at normal times, which means they will be getting started upstairs 11 o'clock. We're going to be dismissing about 11:10, 11:15, 11:20. You know, I don't know. Whenever the guy up here gets done, amen, we'll be dismissing. So, and of course, they'll be upstairs, but just be mindful of that if you're upstairs, that they will be in their Sunday school time at 11 o'clock when we are dismissing, and then they'll be having their service after 11, about 12 noon upstairs. Okay? And they've been having some wonderful, wonderful services in the Spanish department. I thank the Lord for that. I appreciate Brother Jorge's good work. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read the first four verses as our text this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you would please join me on verses 2 and 4 when we read those together, all right? Verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's pray and ask God's blessing before the special. Thank you, dear Father, for your book. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I pray that you'll help us, Lord, as we enter into that time of listening. I trust that our listening will be Spirit-filled, that you'll speak to our hearts, that God will be attentive, and that your Spirit will have access to do what He wants in our lives this morning. May you come in power now. Bless song, singer, message to follow. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
He was dead. So
appropriate song and a blessing this
morning. I forgot to tell you this morning, happy spring. Amen. Aren't you excited it's springtime out there, huh? I'm telling you, what a blessing. Poor Al Gore, he must be fretting this morning. Amen. He's got to be upset. It's as cold in Atlanta, Georgia, as it is here. Lexington, Kentucky had 2 inches of snow on Friday night. It's that global warming. It's all that, you know. Poor Al. Amen. The prophet. Yeah, the prophet. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, help us, huh? Anyway, that's ridiculous, but unbelievable. This cold weather, record-setting temperatures on the deep end. Amen. And Al's running around talking about we're all going to burn up, no doubt about it. So, amen. Isn't that funny? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Amen. No doubt about it. I want to speak to you on the pattern of the gospel this morning. The pattern of the gospel. You'll see the words at the end of verses 3 and 4, according to the Scriptures. Do you see that? According to the Scriptures. The pattern of the gospel. Dear Father, thank you this morning for your word. I pray that you'll honor it and bless it as we preach it today. Come in power, I ask. Speak to every heart. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. One of the easiest questions to answer is the question, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? It's a very easy question to answer because the Bible spells it out so very clearly in this passage. Let me show you the gospel. Look at verse number 1. He said, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So there's no doubt about it. What he's about to declare unto us is the gospel. Look at verse number 3. That Christ died for our sins. And then verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. Now right there, friend, there you have it. As simple as 1, 2, 3, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what the Bible tells us it is. Now, the gospel involves a specific person. And it involves three facts about that person. The person is Jesus Christ. And the facts are, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now, there is no other gospel. There is no other person, and there are no other elements that make up the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ rose again, and there is no other gospel. The Mormons and the JWs and the Muslims and all those folks can talk about their gospel all they want to, but there's only one gospel according to the Holy Bible. That's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not about just any person. It's about one person, Jesus. And the facts that make up the gospel are not random facts. They are specific. They are exact. And I want you to notice the Bible says that his death, his burial, and his resurrection were according to the Scriptures. Christ did not die just any old type of death. He died according to the Scriptures. Christ was not buried just any old way. He was buried according to the Scriptures. And Christ did not rise from the dead in just any old manner. He rose according to the Scriptures. You see, the Bible contains a pattern for Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And folks, Jesus followed that pattern perfectly. He followed it perfectly. Now, listen, one thing this truth does, it lays to rest the idea that Jesus was this loose, wispy, free spirit who woke up every morning with no purpose and no plea. And, you know, you can kind of see him standing on the mountain and the wind blowing through his hair and his sandals on. And he has no place to be, no purpose, no desire. He's just a vagabond, you know, wandering around following the leadership of the Spirit. No, Jesus didn't live like that. Let me tell you, folks, anybody who lives like that is a miserable flop. That's not real. That's portrayed as some kind of, you know, oh man, just to be this unattached, irresponsible, unaccountable, just, you know, kind of get up in the morning and as the Spirit moves you, you know. And that's how Jesus lived his 3.5 year ministry on life. No, no, no. Jesus was a man, a person of order. Jesus was a person of structure. Jesus was a person of responsibility. Jesus was a person of a plan, a purpose, some drive. He always had a place to be, and he always had something to do. If Jesus had lived his life in that carefree, wispy fashion, he would have been a failure. But friend, he was no failure. His life was not a haphazard, carefree, slap happy life. No, no, no. Rather, his death, his burial, his resurrection were patterned according to the Scriptures. Patterned according to structure. Structure according to the Scriptures. I want to talk about that pattern this morning for just a few minutes. Follow along to different places in your Bible as we need to go there. First of all, let me talk about the place of the pattern. The place of the pattern. Now think with me just for a minute. Don't have time to show you these verses this morning. Run out of time. But in many places, over and over again in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read, listen, where Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, something about his death, something about his burial, something about his resurrection, listen to this, fulfilled the Scriptures. You read over and over again, that the Scriptures be fulfilled. That the Scripture be fulfilled. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. That the Scripture be fulfilled. Well, folks, let me ask you a question this morning. Where is that Scripture? Because we didn't have Acts, we didn't have Romans, we didn't have all the Pauline epistles, we didn't have John's letters, we didn't have Peter's letters. Where were these Scriptures that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfilled? You know where they were? They were in the Old Testament. They were in the Old Testament. Now, dozens and dozens of Old Testament Bible verses, listen to me, laid out a specific pattern about either Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection. And when you get to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I read those passages this week several times. I read Matthew 26, 27, 28. I read Mark 13, 14, 15, 16. I read Luke 22, 23, 24. I read John 18, 19, 20, and 21 several times this week. Because this I know it could have been another time in the month of April, but this is the week that we give attention to his death, his crucifixion, and on Wednesday. Had to be on Wednesday, folks, if he came out of the grave early on Sunday morning. He's in there 3 days and three nights. No, impossible to be crucified on Friday. Impossible. That's a whole other issue. But I read all... Now, when you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, watch me, you find out that it was carried out exactly according to the pattern in the verses that the Old Testament used. I mean, it was exactly to the pattern. I could take the time this morning to show you those verses, but that's not really my main purpose. It's not the specific verses. Suffice it to say, take my word for it. Look it up if you want to yourself. The Old Testament has many verses that spell out how Jesus would die, spell out who he would die with, spell out the type of tomb he would be buried in, how many days he would be in the tomb, who would betray him. Everything, every event, according to the pattern that was found in the Old Testament. Now, you know what this does? This shows how important the Old Testament Scriptures are for today. Now, some people would like for us to believe that the Old Testament is out of date. They attempt to downplay it. It's over. It's not needed. It's done. It's Old Testament. This is the New Testament. We don't need the Old Testament Scriptures anymore. That's a big mistake, friend, especially when God said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Let me tell you something. The Old Testament is vital. The most important events in the life of Jesus Christ were his death, his burial, his resurrection. Most important events in his life. And they didn't just happen by circumstance. They took place according to the pattern found in the Scriptures. Those Scriptures were in the Old Testament. Look, one way we know that Jesus is not an imposter is because he carried every one of those Scriptures. He carried out every one of those Scriptures to the minutest detail. You know, if police and a team of detectives get on the case of a criminal, And they're trying to nab a suspect in a case. And boy, they're obtaining facts and they're collecting information and obtaining facts, specific facts. the type of his facial features, the color of his hair, his height, his weight, where he's lived, what his tendencies are, where he goes, what he does at this time of the day, what he does here. They gather every detail, 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 detail. And then they get a big group of suspects, and they measure the suspects against the information, and they begin to weed them out. This guy doesn't fit, and this guy doesn't fit, and this guy doesn't fit. And finally, they get to that one man who fits all the detailed information that's been gathered, all the facts of the case. And you know what? They see that it matches up, and they say, that's him. And I want to tell you something. You got any question if Jesus is the Messiah? You got any question if Jesus is the Son of God? Do a little research. Go to your Old Testament. Read the verses. Gather the facts. Gather the information. And then you compare Jesus to all of those facts that you gather. You compare Jesus to all that information. And you know what conclusion you'll reach? That's him. That's him. Jesus is no imposter, friend. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, to go to the cross and be buried, rise again for our salvation. The pattern of the gospel, the place of that pattern is in the Old Testament. Can I say this and just move right along this morning? If all the Old Testament scriptures were true about Jesus' birth, and all the old scriptures were true about his death, and all the Old Testament scriptures were true about his burial, and all the Old Testament scriptures were true about his resurrection, you think there's a chance that all those scriptures about his coming back to this earth just might be true as well? Amen? I wouldn't gamble against that, friend. There's too much evidence. There's a preponderance of evidence that proves he's the Messiah. He came just like the Bible said he would. He lived just like the Bible said he would. He died just like the Bible said he would. He was buried just like the Bible said he'd be buried. And he rose again the third day just like the Bible said he would. And he's coming back just like the Bible says. I'm talking about the place of the pattern. It's the Old Testament scriptures. Let me go quick to number two this morning. Let's talk for a minute about the position of the pattern. What do you mean? The position of the pattern. Hold your finger here in 1 Corinthians 15 and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you're new to the Bible, you're turning to the right, toward the back of the Bible, toward the book of Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you a couple of verses. Let's talk about not only the place of the pattern, the Old Testament scriptures, but let's talk about the position of the pattern. The position, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. Are you there? Look at it with me. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now I want you to see verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Did you see that, verse 20? Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Friend, listen, the pattern of the gospel, the pattern of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen, was in position before the creation of the world. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. You see, God knows all things beforehand. Are you listening this morning? He planned the creation of the world. He planned the creation of man. Now listen. He knew ahead of time that Adam would sin against him and plunge the human race into sinful separation from himself. He knew that ahead of time. He knew that sin would separate man from him. Listen. And he knew that that separation would have to be forever, because where God is, there can be no sin. He knew that ahead of time. And ahead of time, because of his great big heart of love, he planned to send Jesus Christ. What could and of course God knows everything, so this is a little bit facetious, but can you imagine God looking around heaven saying, what could I do? What could I use? Who could I send to prove to man how deeply I love him? And his only answer was, I'll send the person closest to me. I'll send my only begotten son. Are you listening? He planned to send Jesus to this world, to die, to be buried, and to rise again. He planned to send him before creation, All of this was in position before the earth was created, before the atmospheric heavens, and before the planetary system, before the trees and the mountains and the oceans and the animals, and before Adam and Eve were created. Before, this was in place before. God didn't get caught off by surprise. He didn't get caught off guard by man's sin. He wasn't surprised when Jesus came to die for man. Jesus came to die because God sent him, because God planned it. See, we make it such a big issue about this war because, believe it or not, we got folks preaching that this was a surprise to God. And it caught him by surprise that Jesus was willing to go give his life. And we got polyparaton preachers preaching that in pulpits in Baptist churches because they don't think. I'm going to tell you something. That's heresy. God wasn't caught by surprise. Oh, Jesus, you mean you're going to go? My Bible tells me that before the foundation of the world, the position of the pattern was in place. Jesus was going to die. Jesus was going to be buried. Jesus was going to rise again. And that was decided before there was ever a world, friend. In the foreknowledge of God. Amen and amen and amen. That's truth. That's not some off-the-wall psychological babble. That's truth. Out of your book right here. Whatever happened to "For God so loved the world"? Kind of nonsense God decided just to let man go and was caught off guard when Jesus volunteered to go to the cross. Puke. God so loved the world. And He gave His only begotten Son. And that pattern was in place. It was in position before there was ever a creation. Now, let me get this down to something to really help you. That really won't help you. Except for if you hear that other stuff, you know that's heresy. But let me tell you where it really helps you. You know what that means? That means that God loved you. And that means that God loved me before the creation of the world. How long has God loved us? God has loved us for at least 6,000 years. We have been on the mind of God for at least 6,000 years. We've been on the heart of God for at least 6,000 years. You wonder sometimes, does God love me, friend? He didn't just start yesterday. He didn't start when you were born. He started before the foundation of the world to love you and me. Hallelujah, amen. Huh? Amazing love. How can it be? And that pattern of the death, burial, resurrection was in place. It was in position, if you will, before the creation of the world. The place of the pattern is found in the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus fulfilled every one of them to the minutest detail. The position of the pattern, it was in position before God ever said, "Let there be light." Before God ever said, "Let there be green things and trees and flowers and mountains and rivers." Before God ever scooped up the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into his nostrils with the breath of life. Before God's plan was already in place. Sure was. The position of the pattern. Let me hasten to say this morning, number three. One, I like this one. Let me hasten to say the provision of the pattern. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The provision of the pattern. The place of the patterns, the Old Testament, the position of the patterns before the creation of the world. Look at the provision of the pattern this morning, verse number 2. Look, I love this first phrase here. By which also ye are saved. What is the provision of the pattern? What does the pattern provide? All right, look at me. When you put it all together, it makes up man's salvation. Now look, you can't leave out any part and arrive at salvation. You sure can't leave out His death and take just His burial and His resurrection and arrive at salvation. But you can't take His death and His resurrection and leave out His burial and arrive at salvation. And you sure can't take His death and burial, leave out His resurrection and arrive at salvation. You got to take His death, His burial, His resurrection, all three of them, the pattern together, all three of them provide complete salvation. When you get... Here, all right, where's my stuff? Here we go. Here's a, right here. Here's a pattern. One of the great challenges in life is learning to occupy your time while your wife is looking through the pattern rack. Brother Gomez called me. I was in the car. Called my cell phone. Said, Terry, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting in the parking lot. Joyce is in the Joann's Fabrics. I'm sitting in the parking lot. He laughed. He said, I do the same thing. Amen. We take our wives shopping. You go shopping, I'll sit right here. Amen. There's a pattern. Now, look, you know what? This pattern right here tells you to take some material. Okay. And my wife didn't save the exact material from the dress. But just let it represent. Here's the pattern. Now, the pattern says you take this dress, this material, and you take some thread, and you take this zipper, and when you put this material and this thread and this zipper together according to this, you get this. Right? Now, it didn't just poof. Okay. But that's what you get. Hey, could I get this if I leave out this? Couldn't get that. Got to have that, right? Could I get this if I left out this? It'd fall apart. Could I get this if I left out this? It'd be hard to wear, wouldn't it? Huh? But when you take this and this and this and put it all together according to this, and when you take his death and his burial and his resurrection, and you put them all together, you know what you have? Complete salvation. It's done. It's over. It's finished. It's not, well, I'll hang on to what Jesus did, and I get in the water to make sure that I've washed my sins away. Or it's not hang on to what Jesus did and make sure my name is on a church roll. It's not hang on to what Jesus did and make sure I endure to the end or I'm going to lose it. No, brother, when you take his death, his burial, his resurrection, and you put them together, you got complete salvation. It's done. Hallelujah, 'tis done. Sure it is. I believe in the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen. Complete salvation. Complete free salvation. Sure, it's free to anybody who will receive it. Believe it, receive it. It's like old D.L. Moody was preaching about salvation, and somebody came to him afterwards and was talking about, you got to work and you got to do this and you got to work and you got to maintain. And D.L. Moody looked at him and he said, friend, there are two letters, not two words, two letters that make a big difference between what I believe and what you believe. The man said, what do you mean? And D.L. Moody said, you spell your salvation D-O. You got to do this and do that and do this and hang on and do this, all this stuff. D.L. Moody said, I spell my salvation D-O-N-E. Done. Done. It's complete through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the provision of the pattern. Let me talk lastly this morning about the power of the pattern. Man, it's only 10:55. I got another hour and 5 minutes to preach. And some of you were afraid of that, weren't you? You were afraid. Yes, if he's going to do it. He's not going to let us out. We're not going to get out at 11:15. That's hogwash. He's going to keep us till noon. Now, here we go. We talk about the power of the pattern. Flip back to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans 1. We show you the power of the pattern. You got the place of the pattern in the Old Testament Scriptures. You got the position of the pattern before the world began. You've got the provision of the pattern. Salvation. Complete and full salvation. And now, you got the power of the pattern. You got the power of the pattern. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. You know what the pattern has power to do, friend? It has power to save you. Has power to save you. It has power, the Bible says, to save everyone that believes. Now you say, Pastor Angel, I'm a little bit confused because Paul said here in Romans 1 that you have gospel has power to save everyone that believeth. And over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, the Bible says the gospel, that they received it, and that's what saved them. They received it, and Paul said they believed it. Which is it? Can I tell you it's both? Can I tell you it's both? It's believing and receiving. It's trusting. It's giving your heart to Christ and receiving Him as your personal Savior. It's both believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and receiving it into your heart. Everyone who trusts in Jesus and what He did is saved. Everyone who believes and receives becomes a child of God. You must believe it in your heart. And then you must receive it. You say, well, I believe, you know, there's a God and there's a Jesus. Now, I believe all this resurrection, Easter, and, you know, I believe. Friend, you know the Bible tells us in the book of James that the devils believe and tremble? Let me tell you, can I put, boy, I hate to say it this way, but if all we do is just have some mental acknowledgement that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, we're no better than devils. No better than devils. They believe. Every time a demon, devil-possessed person encountered Jesus Christ, there was no question as to who He was. They knew. They knew. They never did say, are you who you say you are? We know thee who thou art, thou Holy One of Israel. But it's more than just believing. You've got to receive it. You've got to make it yours. By faith, take Jesus Christ. Take His death, His burial, His resurrection. Take that complete package of salvation and receive it. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man what? Believe it. Unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. You see, here's what happens. We get under conviction. We realize that we're sinners. We're hopeless without Jesus Christ. We're hopeless as far as heaven is concerned. We're separated from God now. And if we die like that, we'll be separated from God forever. But we hear the story of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And our heart goes, yes. Yes. There's a way for me. There's a way for me. You know what the Bible says you do with that? With your mouth. Dear Jesus. It may not be verbal words that you speak from your lips and your mouth, but there is that communication to God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I take Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Without that, you're not born into God's family. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now listen to me, I'm done. You know what that pattern has power to do? It has power to save you. It has power to birth you into God's family. It has power to change your life. Yes, sir. Oh, Luke was sick. My son Luke was sick with that stuff that's been going around. He was sick Friday. When a 17-year-old boy doesn't eat and lays around all day, something's wrong. 102, 103. And then last night, it broke. Of course, he couldn't visit the bus route with Brother Jeff yesterday. He couldn't be a part of the youth activity. But he woke up this morning, he came down, he said, it's gone. Checked the temperature and the thermometer, and he said, it's gone. And I could tell he was itching. He was itching to get to church. He was itching to go on that bus, Brother Jeff. He was itching. Well, I thought back to when I was 17. I'd have found any way out of church. I wanted no part of it. I didn't care about, I'm not being irreverent. I didn't care about that book. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about Jesus. I didn't care about anything church. Nothing. Until the power of the gospel changed me. I don't want to be ugly, the folks who are here on Easter Sunday, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. When I got saved, I got something more than just a one-time-a-year deal. I got changed. I said, I got changed. And you know what I'm glad? I'm glad that when God changes you, He makes all things new. And then you can, if you get saved early enough, you can begin a family and hopefully rear your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that they enjoy going to church and want to go to. But all of that came about because the power of the gospel changed me. I think it's time for some of you folks to quit playing church. I think it's time for some of you folks to quit playing salvation. Quit playing. Has there been a change? There's something burning in your heart for God. I believe that Jesus, I believe everything you have. You made it yours. Was there that moment when you communicated with God? I am lost and I want to be saved. I want to tell you something. The power of this pattern, the pattern of His death, His burial, His resurrection has power to change your life. It also has power to change your eternal destiny. From the fire of hell to the glories of heaven. I went to see James Ken a week ago Saturday on his birthday. Preacher, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm in his hands whenever he's ready. I'm ready. Monday, he was talking on the phone to his wife. Tuesday was her birthday. I want you to come down now. Come on down on Tuesday and we'll have a good time together. I'm ready to go home. 11 o'clock Monday night. He went home. That's the power of the gospel to change you. And make heaven your home instead of the fires of hell. Aren't you glad for the gospel? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you this morning for listening. Now, please don't turn me off. We're in good shape. We're in good time. But I do want to ask two or three questions this morning while you listen carefully. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, there's no question in my mind where I would go. I'm saved. I know. I'm on my way to heaven. If you can say that this morning honestly before God, would you please lift a hand in the air this morning on the lower floor, in the balcony from front to back, side to side. I know that I'm saved. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one here this morning anywhere that would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning and let me pray for you? Would you please do that? Raise your hand right up and put it right back down. God bless you. I see you. Is there another? I see a child. God bless you. Is there another? Just pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Left to right, front to back, member, visitor, tired of playing, guessing, doubting, all the time twisting in my stomach. Am I saved? Am I not? I'm worried, concerned. Pray for me. Anybody else? Front to back. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Somebody else. Tired of it. I want to know. I want to nail it down. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Nobody's looking now. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I want just those four or five that lifted a hand just now to look at me just for a minute here. Look at me just for a minute, sir. God bless you. You back there. God bless you. Right here. Look at me just for a minute, sir. Most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're going to heaven when you die. Jesus came to give you free salvation. I was sitting in church like you men are sitting in church, you ladies. Preacher gave me the opportunity to come and find out the Word of God how to be saved. It's believing and receiving. I've got men in place and ladies right here that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved right now. Why don't you come and let somebody show you from the Bible? Nobody's looking. It's just private. Would you do that? Come right now. Just make your way to the aisle and come out. That's right. God bless you. Do you need to come, sir? Would you come? Would you come this morning? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you come? You raised your hand. Would you come from the back? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm born again. Would you come? Somebody else? Take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. We'd love to do that. Be done with guessing and be done with hoping and be done with I don't know if I am or if I'm not. Be done with that. Would you come? Somebody else this morning? Not sure that I'm saved. Anybody here say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been scripturally baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Saved but not baptized. God bless you, teenagers. I appreciate that. As soon as mom and dad give you permission to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we want to baptize you. Anybody else? Not sure. I've not been baptized. And if we don't have your name, if we haven't talked to your parents, we need to. You give your name to Brother Caleb or Brother Jason or somebody this morning. Anybody else saved but not baptized? Not follow the Lord in believer's baptism. All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, church members, let me talk to you just a minute. Faithful folks here at the church, this is our spring campaign. Let's ask folks to come and let's ask God to help us and let's see people's lives. Let's see them salvaged and changed and brought to Christ and let's get people in. And it's Easter Sunday. Sometimes that's a difficult Sunday. Sometimes it's an easy Sunday. People have plans to go everywhere on Easter. Let's work at it. Maybe there's somebody that's on your heart that you want to be saved. Thank God that the gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. Everyone. If you're not saved this morning, you can be. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Father, I pray that you'll bless the invitation. I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for its place, its pattern. I thank you for the place of that pattern, the position of that pattern, the provision and the power of that pattern. Thank you for complete and free salvation to everyone who will believe. Bless these that need to be saved, need to get it settled. And Spirit of God and conviction, I pray that you'll work even more on hearts. If there's anybody here lost without Christ, separated from God, may they please come to Christ this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The invitation is not over. We're going to stand in just a moment when I ask you to. The ladies are going to play. If you're not sure that you're saved, simply make your way to the altar here in the front. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you need to join the church and you've talked to us about that, you come. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing. Song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Someone else will be saved. Not sure that you're saved. Step out. Let somebody take a Bible and show them. Would you come? While we wait.
folks here at the front, let me take just this opportunity to make available to you this morning the Revival Fires newspaper. Fellows, you have those ready to pass out? Okay, we don't. All right, we'll get those in just a moment then. And we'll do the other just as well in just a moment. All right, Travis DeVries has come this morning. Travis, would you stand, please, sir? 20 years of age, and he has come to ask our church for membership. Been saved and baptized since he's been saved. Coming from another church in another area, transferring his membership here. Do I see a move that we receive this young man into the fellowship this morning? Thank you, Tom. And in second, Brother Dave, all in favor of that, amen. Amen. Wonderful. God bless you, Travis. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you'll come by and shake hands with them at the close of the service in just a minute. He'll be seated. Brother Caleb, you need this? Come right away, sir. All right, ushers, you ready now? Let's make those available, if you would. The ushers have the copy of this month's Revival Fires magazine, newspaper, and one per household, please. If you would, just one per household. We'll have enough for all of our church families. Just pass them down the aisle and hope.